So this morning, I'm going to share what I feel God's saying for the next year as a focus. Can you hear me, everyone? Yep, good. Clearly? Even better. Communication's key. I think that's one of the, with businesses, churches, communication can really let us down. So people don't know, they feel left out. So that's something that we aspire to be better at always. But yeah, we're going to share what God feels a bit of a focus for us, a vision. It doesn't mean to say we stop doing other stuff. Yesterday we had a prayer ministry training morning. And just listening, I got the impression I was going to stand up here this morning and say that we're not going to do church anymore, or we're going to do meet in the afternoon. It's just the impression that come across that this is going to be huge. Well, I don't plan to change the times. I don't think that's right. It's just where to aim for, really. So I'm going to share on what is the purpose of church. I'm going to share what I see as Bethel core values and what I've witnessed and desired the church to be and share the vision. In Proverbs, hopefully it does work. Yes. In Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for that you don't leave us. That you give us a direction to aim into, Lord. And that the church has a purpose which is greater than what the world has. Lord, that we are mighty. Mighty warriors, spiritual warriors of God. Amen. Amen. Whoa, amen. So what's the purpose of church? Let me begin by saying that vision is important. It's what gives us purpose and direction. But before vision, we must understand the reason why we do church. And that's something I want to remind us today, or remember today. This is you know that the body of Christ is interactive. You know that I've got some limbs over here, I've got some ears over here, some eyes, some toes sitting on the side. So we're going to throw it out. What is the purpose of church? That's not a rhetorical question. That's a question. What is the purpose? Be the body of Christ. Equip the saints for ministry. To show the world who we are and what Jesus was. To be the salt and light of the world. Worship God. Yes. Sorry, Mel. Yes. Support and encourage one another in our journeys. Who? To learn to manifest God's kingdom. They're huge, aren't they? Imagine trying to do that on your own. There's some very good biblical instructions that God gives in his marvellous word that every believer should be living. For example, never go backwards. For example, Matthew 28, 19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Acts 2, 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. James 1, 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. There are many different Bible verses which we could easily pick out and say, this is the purpose of church, this is the purpose. And I'll be honest, if things were left to me, if I was in charge, every single one of you would be evangelists. Thankfully, the body of Christ doesn't look like that. And so that's not right. But actually, evangelism is part of something bigger, and which is a whole picture, which we don't see if we focus on one. The preacher and theologian Charles Bridges said, "The church is the mirror that reflects the whole effulgence, which is brightness, of the divine character. It is the grand scene in which the perfections of Jehovah are displayed to the universe." When we understand that the local church exists by God, for God, we see that God's glory, not the needs of the saved or unsaved people, is meant to be the determining factor for all that church does. The church does emphasise reaching the lost, and it does emphasise edifying the saved. But what it does so in a way that's honouring to God and consistent with His will. It ensures that both the method and the message of the church bring glory to His name. That's what I see church as. I could share which I think that I've seen, from what I've seen at Bethel Christian Fellowship, and what is really a desire as well, but which are Bethel's core values, which when you look underneath as we meet, it's who we are. So glorifying to God. Everything that we do glorifies Him. We're the light of the world to shine into the darkness. But we also desire to live lives praising and glorifying to Him. So whether you're at church, whether you're at home, our actions should be, how am I going to glorify God? I know that we live in a tough world, and most of us have jobs. Those who are retired are very fortunate. They can just ponder on God all day. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm just what I've witnessed, you know. These super spiritual men and women of God. Because actually, life happens, doesn't it? Life happens, and we get busy. And we can sometimes put God as an add-on, which isn't glorifying Him. Another one, too. It's a sense of belonging is on our hearts. So the church is family. I don't know if I put... Oh, I shouldn't have copied and pasted everything, should I? Church is family. We're welcoming, loving and accepting. If someone comes in and they're new, they're family. Yeah, we welcome. And that's something I've witnessed. That's something which is underneath what we do. And new people have given me feedback that they feel a sense of love. And I think that's right. Thank you, Tina. A few more amens out there, please. We're also Pentecostal, yeah? And the body... Number three, a body of believers, this is one of the core values, that are full of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to be. Saved and manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. I'll be honest, I want to see more. I've always said this, I'm greedy. I want to see more God. I want to see God as people walk in the building, that though this isn't our building, I want to see that the Holy Spirit just wipes us out. Yeah. That's my desire, that we hear more of the spiritual gifts, that we see healings and the miracles here in this hall. That's on my wish list that I'm praying for. Four, that we're discipled. You know, we're teachable and that we are taught. And of course, the last one would be that we're ready to be sent onto mission. Whether that is local or whether that is as far afield as Ukraine or Africa or Mexico, India. I'm just randomly naming places now, I don't. But I want to move on to what has God said for us as a church, really. Or I shall go back a step. What is vision? We had was away for 4 days in August, ARG training, to get the accreditation. And they had a whole week, or 4 days, of teaching about team building, vision, and what it looks like. How seeking God, and how to implement vision. Vision is interesting because we all have a vision, don't we? Who here has an aspiration? Luke, what's your aspiration? He wants to become a head teacher. You're going to be a worship leader. Anyone got someone else had a hand up there? I won't mock you all because he's my son, so I'm allowed to. Brenda. Amen to that. Yeah. I had a dream when I was a boy. My dad was an electrician, the greatest industry in the universe. I know, right, Pete? Amen to that, yeah. I had a dream that I wanted to be like my dad. And I wanted to be an electrician. And I'll become an electrician. But God said something different. He said, I want you to lead a church. That's completely different to electrics. I can't die unless I ignore God and do what I want. Obviously, he might strike me down, but we pray that we don't do that. But we all have our own vision in life. Abigail's got a vision to go to Cambodia on the World Challenge. And so she's working in the year, fundraising to raise that money. But as a church collectively, we also should have a place to point to. I'm going to read you a quote by Jesus Culture. Vision is the bridge between the present and the future. Without it, we perish or go unrestrained, as the New American Standard Bible puts it. Vision gives pain a purpose. So vision gives pain a purpose, because vision can be hard sometimes. Those without vision spend their lives taking the path of least resistance as they try to avoid discomfort. The level of sacrifice that a vision requires will determine the size of the people who follow. Sacrifice separates the small from the great. That's building up, really. But what do I feel God's been saying for Bethel? He revealed that there will be exponential growth. There will. God is going to bless this place. My vision has always been to fill every seat in this room, that we have to go either 2 services or build a huge building or rent 2 buildings. The next one really is to aim for, really. God has shared with me that this year we need to focus on the fringes. With Jesus Christ. So that prayer I want everyone in my family saved. That's what I feel God's saying this year, that we need to aim for. There are many that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, and they might be husbands, they might be wives, they might be children, they might be work colleagues. You know who they are. I talk to enough of you to know that I'm praying for individuals, for families. I know that there's a desire that you want more of Jesus in your house. You find that those on the fringes are tolerant of your faith, aren't they? Yeah, they're happy to... Yeah, you know, you go along on Sunday morning, dear. You go and do your God stuff. True. True. This is being recorded, so we'll refrain from speaking about my own family. Because they're all lovely. But some might have been, many years ago, made a commitment. These are all people that matter to you, that you love. They might have just backslidden. They might have fallen away. But the point is, there's no need to go onto new ground when we already have a whole area of people who are tolerant, who are happy in some ways to hear the gospel. And that's what I feel as a church that we need to focus on. And we prayed about it. We discussed it with the elders. There's just so many around that don't know the Lord Jesus. And if you think, I think about my own family, I will say that in my family, my mum and dad. My mum and dad don't believe in Jesus. My brothers don't. I want them in heaven. I don't want to be thinking, I know it says that there'll be no tears, but I want them to be with me in heaven. I want that them to know the glory of God. How that wonderful relationship that we have with him. And third would be being a bit bolder. See this? It's the whole book. Yeah? When you read this book, as you get, obviously we skip out, we don't skip. That is the wrong word. Brothers and sisters, I do not mean skip the Old Testament. What I mean is, as we look at the early church, we see a gospel that's proclaimed. And in that gospel, we see manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We see God pouring out on his people, us carrying, being the arms and legs. And that's what we see, and that is a desire. Amen. As I said before, we are Pentecostal. So we're an amen. Come on. Amen. Thank you. So there's a plan, right? There is a plan. No, we won't share the plan yet because there's more to talk about. I want to remind you why, you know, what am I doing? I need to remind you why that we want to share Jesus, don't I? Yes, Luke, we do. We have been given. Do you know David was saying about what gift you got for Christmas? Yeah, there were some gifts that were great and some gifts that were not great. Praise the Lord that the gifts that are great outweighed the gifts that weren't great. And unusual. But the greatest gift in history is Jesus. Jesus died for your sins. We accepted him as our Saviour. We repented. We believed. He rose from the grave as well. And he's alive. And we are restored to a place with God. How amazing is God? Those that do not know Jesus, black and white fact, are going to hell. I don't like it. I don't make the rules. And it hurts when I think about, I'm selfish. I think about my family. Yeah, I love you guys to bits. But I also think about the woman who brought me into the world, who doesn't know Jesus. I'm selfish. I want them to know him. But how many friends or family, acquaintances that you know in your life don't know Jesus? I'm not meaning to make this sad talk, but it's the truth. And it saddens me. And so sometimes I try and ignore it. But maybe it's time to do what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that you have, that is in you. With meek reason for the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. There are a few reasons why that we might not want to share Jesus, yeah? There's some good reasons. Got a couple. Nope, I didn't write them down. I wrote them here though. Got a couple. Fear of rejection. You guys are crazy. Right, we believe a God that we can't actually physically see. And as we tell our friends and family, that is, I weren't brought up a Christian. So that is my view on what my view on Christians was. And that then, coming back to us, there's that fear of rejection that people will think that you are crazy. Spend a day with Harriet. She's crazy. But she's also very lovely. I think that's number one. Number two, that we're stagnant in our faith and feel that this is not the best gift ever. And why would my family be interested in my faith if I'm bored? If I'm sitting here thinking, oh, can't wait to go home, got a roast gammon in the oven. Why would? Three, perhaps we come to church and we don't believe. Perhaps we enjoy being part of the community because there is a love. Perhaps we enjoy that. So you've got nothing to share. Maybe we're scared that we might upset someone by sharing this news. Or number five, this is the classic. Maybe we're selfish and don't want to share the greatest gift in history of anyone else. You think, this is mine. No, when you're a toddler and you get a toy, mine. You can't have a go. I'm keeping it. Maybe it's like that. These are five reasons. They're just off the cuff reasons and might not be real, but actually some of them are. And it's not an excuse, because actually we should be led by the Holy Spirit, shouldn't we? We should be following his leading. Many years ago, 15 minutes, I've got loads of time. Many years ago, means I can go off a bit. When I first became a Christian, I fancied myself as an evangelist. I dragged Susie to church for ages. But I really fancied myself as an evangelist, and I was really full of the fire of God. I really was, to tell everyone that I met. You know, it's the people on the street. And we go, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I had my knowledge of the Bible was like that. I was given a verse when I was in the Boys Brigade, one verse, Proverbs 3:5. That was the depth of my knowledge. But I wanted to share Jesus with everyone because I was so excited. But the trouble is, because I wasn't really being led by the Holy Spirit, I lost a lot of friends because I'd just come out with, you don't know Jesus. Huh, you know what that means, dear brother, John. That's my brother. And I quite often tell him, you know that means you're going to hell, don't you? He thought it was a joke, but I was being real. And as I say, I lost friends because I was just telling people rather than listening to what the Holy Spirit was saying. And that then becomes where people I know, my friends, are put off by church now. I've done that. My fault. I'll have to answer to that. But we keep praying for them. Leading, being led by the Holy Spirit is key. Because sharing is about showing love, isn't it? Showing patience, showing compassion. But without proclamation, a reason for your faith, all you're doing is good deeds. And you'll be known as the person who does good. There's nothing wrong with good deeds. But we need to give an answer for our faith. I heard a testimony on Friday during Bible study about a car park. Someone didn't have change in the car park, and this person come up to him and said, "Have you got any? You got any change?" And this person gave the whole amount. It's like £3.70. Now £3.70 is nothing. Yeah, it's an expensive car park. But when they said, "Oh no, for a fiver," I said, "No, keep it. You can have it." And then said, God bless you. So there, though it wasn't saying, do you know Jesus? There was still an element of a God bless you to ponder. I was encouraged by that. So how are we going to reach the church fringes? I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of it, its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of just one part, but many. Now if a foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We are the body. Isn't that amazing? I think so. I won't go there naming body parts again, because carnage last time, wasn't it? How are we going to do it? I said that God's saying, reach the fringes. You've been praying for years. What's the difference? Difference is, we're going to pray. We have a blank canvas before us. There's only so many events that are planned in the year. Like we have the community day, we have the light party. There's only so many events. And we need to pray and petition God. At this moment, there is no flesh on the bones. Except that God has said to pray and prepare a place. I've been praying for my sister-in-law. She's very anti. But I've now found her a church where she lives. So now that's where she's going to go. And that's what I'm praying. I'm being bold. And that's the vision, is looking to be bold. And for that to happen, every single person in this room matters, because we're all part of the body. It will mean that you've got to be bold. Chris isn't going to be there when you're talking to your Auntie Doris. It means that you've got to be bold. It means the Holy, you've got to follow the Holy Spirit. We're going to help you. We're going to equip you. Hopefully we'll do some evangelism training, maybe some apologetics. So that you can answer the reason for your faith. Matthew 9:37 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Next week, we've got 6 days of prayer. And then on the breakfast church, we're going to have a time of praying as well. We need to get on our knees before God and pray. What I'm going to ask each of you to do, I could ask two things. Come to the prayer meetings. It can be a lonely place. But what I'm going to ask is, I want you to write down the list of people that you're praying for that matter. Okay? And every single name will be put on the wall in the hut. And we will petition God. And when they come, we'll tick them off. Okay? We're going to use the week of prayer. There's different themes, but seeking God for how? How do we reach those who matter so much to you? But seeking God to show the way. You might say, I've been praying for my husband or wife for years, and he's not interested in God. I don't believe that. I believe that we're spiritual beings, spiritual people, every single human. People are happy to listen to other things which are spiritual. So I think that we just pray, just keep praying and seek God on how. So whether it's we do events like Kaylee's, or barn dancing, or Don't know. I'm not going to put ideas out there because it's got to be God. Matthew 18 says, again, I say to you that if two or three on earth agree on earth concerning anything that I ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. That is why I want us to pray. Because I want us to petition God for those who matter to us. I'm just going to move on a little bit, really, about expressing the gifts of the Holy Spirit here. Most of the prayer ministry team met yesterday to pray and to talk. And what we was praying for is releasing the barriers. I've asked them to be bolder. Coming to church prepared with a word. Come to participate in church. Well, I'd love to look back when I go, I do weird stuff like go and wave flags. What I'd love to do is look back and see the whole congregation engaged, worshipping him.